Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Beardy and the Geek. My name is Emmett Okuna, and with me is.
Ryan, how are you tonight, Emmett?
I am very good. I'm very excited. We've got a special guest on the line. We can actually say he's actually on a phone line. We're not going through the Skype this time. And we've also got some exciting news to tease at the end of the episode as well, which I'm really happy with. So, without any further ado, ladies and gents, Mr. Gary Schoner, welcome to the show.
Hello there, gentlemen. How's it all going?
Well, we're very happy to have you. I don't know if you listen to Beardy and the Geek, but Ryan's been talking about your Planet of the Apes book for months now.
Yeah, a little bit.
Just a little bit, yes. I might have to get you some copies. Have you actually got physical copies of this thing?
Unfortunately not. It's something. It's one of those. It's like a just this chalice, this golden chalice that I've been chasing for years and never got my hands on it.
Oh, look, I'll get some out of the archive here and I'll send you a copy. How's that?
That would be incredible.
Okay, it's great being on the show. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you later on.
Okay, thanks, Gary.
It is Christmas.
Well, that's the important stuff out the way.
No,
Yeah,
definitely, definitely.
that's all we got you on for.
Yeah, okay. Now, Tim McEwan will be most disappointed if I don't say his name about 20 times, and he said to take a drink every time we say his name.
Yeah, that's the game.
Yeah.
It's pretty much drink every time that we say Tim McEwan, or do something probably even more inappropriate when I talk about Urchak's Folly.
Right, okay. Well, drinking is a grand tradition that John Retallack and I have started on the Comic Spot. So, we raise a glass for every single Australian comic that we review on there. So we're getting drunker every show we do.
That was something we were going to mention, your own comic podcast, because typically we do this show straight. I haven't had a drink on this show. I can't speak for Ryan,
No, you definitely can't.
but the one time we did do a drunk was, well, we were in a pub and it got really messy really quickly, and it took me a month to edit that thing.
Yes. Anyway, so children, don't drink while you're doing a podcast.
Although it was awesome.
Yeah, the results are fantastic. Yes. Anything? Not so much.
No, that was a pain in the ass. But now that we have you on the show, there's a lot of things we want to get to. But first up, you've got a new book coming out from Gestalt, Morton Stone. It's a return to a character of yours from way back. Talk to us about that. How does it feel bringing the Gravedigger back to life?
Pretty amazing because a lot of that material was left hanging for quite a few years. So it's great being back in the saddle again and trying to finish off and continue this material that was done so long ago. And of course, the two artists that started the material back there with me was Ashley Wood initially, and Ben Templesmith took over for a while there as well. So we're remastering their artwork and re-scripting the whole thing. And then we're producing new artwork with other artists and myself as well to round out the six issues.
Oh, fantastic. Who else is in track on track?
Besides myself, there's Justin Randall who's doing a story.
Wow.
Yes.
There's another WA artist called Jason Gongor who's doing some stuff as well. And I think that rounds out the slate as far as, Ashley, Ben, Jason, and Justin Randall. I'm really looking forward to Justin's stuff. And then I'm finishing off the last couple of issues myself. Yes.
And talked about Morton Stone itself, the story, because it's got this gothic quality to it, which I really love. And also, but at the same time, it's this tragedy that has a sort of, I don't know, blackly comic tint to it. It seems almost funny at times, but it's quite tragic.
It is intended to be exactly that, and I think it was a meshing of Ashley's and my personalities, really, a meeting of the minds. We were trying to think up something that suited both our personalities to a certain extent. Because when I first moved to WA, I met Ashley. He was just starting out and getting a bit of a rep for himself around town, and circumstances arranged itself so that he and I were actually sharing studio space for a while. And when you share studio space, as a lot of artists and creators out there realize, you start getting influenced in a big way with the people that are sitting right next to you. So a lot of these team-up projects with creators happen, when you share studios. So this, I think, was a large part of that, and me affecting him and him affecting me. And that was kind of the result that came spilling out onto the pages.
And he's quite the character himself is quite iconic in his visually as well, because I remember I've seen a cover to, I think, was it 1994, the Dark Horse Australian special?
And right, yes.
He had Morton Stone on the cover. And this was how they're pitching it to readers. This is what's inside this comic. You know, check this guy out. Which I thought was great. That was the issue's selling point.
And that was the first issue, was it? The one with the full painting on the front cover? Yeah, I think that was by Hugh Fleming, another, I think, a Brisbane-based painter who was getting a lot of work in the Star Wars franchise with Dark Horse at that time. That was a fantastic front cover, yeah.
Mm. But at the currently, Gestalt are putting out Morton Stone digitally. There's going to be a digital release coming up.
That's right, yes.
And then in 2014, we're hoping to get the actual physical copies.
The big collection. And then after that, based on the response from people for the print edition, there will be hopefully more stuff coming with Morton as well. More Morton.
More Morton. There you go. There's your slogan. That'll be more popular than Six Seasons in a Movie. That'll be the hashtag. More Morton.
Yeah, and what I'd really like to do, of course, is, because I'm still talking to Ash and Ben, emailing them updates about how the series is going and sending them material and stuff like that, and I'd love to be able to get them to do some new material for the stuff as well, even if it's just a sketch or a cover or something like that. So fingers crossed for that as things progress down the line.
Yeah. But quickly, I also wanted to touch on the recent launch you had for Morton Stone, because you actually did it at Mona.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. I do a couple of weeks, days a week there as a staff member, a floor walker, an invigilator, as they call them in there. But it was quite by chance that the Emerging Writers Festival director got in touch with me via Josh Santo Spirito, another Hobart-based cartoonist, and they were looking for people to do a Halloween-themed event at Mona. They'd already locked in the location, which was quite serendipitous, I suppose. And they were looking around for people to be able to do a Halloween-themed comic event, reading out stories or performing something to do with sequential art. And, of course, it was perfect timing for Morton Stone number one. So I suggested that we get up there and not necessarily perform, but narrate and read out the issue while the artwork is screened behind us on large screens.
That's what I was really excited about, because I've seen photos from the event, and it was yourself and your partner, and you were doing the different roles from the comic.
That's right, but yes.
I think that's an excellent way of bringing it to a new audience, actually bringing performance to it. It's not just a comic book, it's actually making it a spectacle. That was really clever.
I noticed that Pat Grant had done something with his Tormina video piece as well at the graphics festival that was on at the Sydney Opera House recently. He did one of his stories as a performance there, and that was quite effective as well.
Yeah. And I think one of the things I like about it, because you are mixing the mediums, and we'll get to Unmasked as well, because we really want to talk about Unmasked, but you are also involved with the Eisner Estate and their John Law.
Right, yes, franchise. That's right, yes.
And Eisner, to me, I mean, Eisner is somebody who very early on looked at the comic book and said, okay, what else can I draw in here? I can make this look like a film. I can make this look like theatre. I can make
Yes, he very much had a theatre and film background. His father was actually a set painter and set designer back in the early days. So he got a grounding in that approach to storytelling. And I think that influenced and affected Eisner in his storytelling in the spirit. And then, of course, he was living through the days of film noir and all those classic films that would have affected him as a storyteller as well, and using all those techniques into his working into his comic art.
Yeah. And you're now following in his tradition as well, because you're a character on Catch-All Law.
Yeah, well, I was lucky enough to get the John Law gig back in 2002, and Will at that stage, he wasn't spooked, but it was all a new kind of area, this web comics and internet presentation of work, because John Law was presented online first, and then it was packaged into print through IDW a bit later on. He was, being a businessman, he was very open to new opportunities, and I think he realized what was happening with the internet, and he jumped on board pretty readily after a couple of pretty long and detailed phone conversations with him, and there was a certain amount of trust there of, okay, Gary, if you want to run with it, I'm quite happy to let you go, so let's see what you come up with. And I'm sure if I had fallen over that he would have stepped aside and let me go splat. He was very supportive at every single stage, and the response to the John Law stuff was fantastic. So he was pretty happy.
The father of the graphic novel, Will Eisner.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
So he's always been an innovator. He's always got an eye on them. What's new?
Well, he was never scared of the future, I don't think.
Yeah.
He was always cagey enough to look what was around the corner and how he could adapt to that as it happened.
Very cool, very cool. Well, really looking forward to seeing more of your work on John Law, and as well as Morton Stone. Really excited about Morton Stone because it's a great book, and I managed to get my hands on a copy recently, and I loved it.
So, what was your opinion? You loved it.
Yeah. I loved it. Ryan, what did you think?
Yeah, I loved it. I thought that personally...
Thank God, this could have been awkward.
Yeah, no, it wasn't very good. it was really fantastic. I mean, the first thing that struck me was that, you know, you get into it and the art is brilliant. Of course, Temple Smith's art is fantastic. But then when you got into the Noddy sequence, it was kind of a little bit of a tonal shift where things start to get a little bit almost ethereal.
Yes.
At first, you think, this is where it starts to go straight because you're introduced to the family. But then things start to get a little bit weird. It kind of felt like Sam Keith's The Max.
Right. That's a good thing.
That's a fantastic thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But it was sort of, that's where you start to go, as much as, there's this crazy-ass grave-digging man and his taxidermied dog.
The puppy. Yeah, Crypto.
His little Crypto, and I love that too. That's a brilliant, brilliant pun. As much as that's as odd as you'd think it could get, things start to get a little bit weirder, and it hints at so much more to come as well.
Indeed, yeah. Some of the new material that I'm drawing for it gets even crazier. So, it's been a lot of fun because a lot of these ideas have been boiling around in my head for a couple of decades now, I'm sad to say. But it's great actually revisiting the thing and getting this stuff down on paper finally. And it's a very weird feeling as a creator having something sitting in the back of the mind for so long and then that it was started so long ago but wasn't finished. And it's great being able to get back to it again. Mm. Yeah, really good thing.
Excellent stuff. You're exercising it, getting it out.
Yes.
So the other Gestalt book you're currently got out there is Unmasked. That's available digitally.
I think the first three issues out from a variety of places.
Yes.
But Comixology has started rolling them out from issue one. I think issue one is available through Comixology. Issue two is coming out shortly, blah, blah, blah. So I'm up to my neck in issue four at the moment, the final issue of the first story arc. And I'm hopefully going to get that out by the end of the year. But if I'm doing the colouring on it, it'll probably be a little bit longer. But, it's being worked on and it should be finished shortly.
Very cool, very cool. And you took over from Emily Smith.
That's right, yes.
What I really liked about the third issue was there was a transition to your style, but it actually flowed through.
Well, this is the big thing about changing artists halfway. Yeah. Life happens and the situation arose with Gestalt that they needed someone to come on to do the last two issues. And with that happening, there was always going to be the issue of, different art styles, different artists coming on board. How much does the replacement artist mimic or try and emulate what's been done beforehand? It's a hard thing to do, but what Wolfgang tried to do was find someone who wasn't such a huge culture shock from issues two to issue three. So hopefully the change was there, but it wasn't so jarring that the story was affected by it.
Yeah, but what I really liked about your issue was you got to create a Kirby character, in effect.
Primortal.
The Primortal. That's Kirby. I love that.
Well, that was all Christian Reed, really. I was just drawing, what he had written on the page. So that was the angle that he was going for. So I was really happy that that page turned out the way it did. And, of course, some of the really spacey effects that are on that page, that particular one, was brought to the party by Garth Jones, who did a lot of the base colouring throughout the whole issue. So a lot of the space feels and the lovely cloud effects and things like that on that page, really... is Garth's magic.
Yeah, and himself and Christian are doing that Babylon Shock
story.
In Homebrew Vampire Bullets, which as well, if you're folks out there listening, Homebrew Vampire Bullets, available digitally, really good, check it out.
And it's the first issue, exploded yesterday, didn't it?
Yeah, it's out now, so, yeah.
hang on.
Hard Rock Demonology.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I'll buy it. But yeah, Unmasked is a great book. We had Christian on, I think, over a year ago talking about it. But one thing that occurred to me about it was that Australia actually has a long history of superhero comics. There have been superhero comics in Australia for years.
Yes. But
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, because you have the background through Cyclone and so forth, I think this is the first Australian supervillain comic.
Yes. Yeah, I would say that that's a pretty good guess.
And
I'm sure, you know, hey, people will ring in or Facebook.
Yeah.
Or
let you know, damn it, you fool! You damn fool!
Yes, but in my dim memory, picking my brains, I can't think of anyone or anything that is similar to that. So, yeah, and it's a great area to explore. It's an obvious area, but no one has seemed to have done it up until Christian. So, yeah. More points to him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And because it's quite sad, because if you look at a lot of American superhero comics now, it's kind of hard to tell the difference.
Indeed. Yeah. The way Christian writes it, though, these guys are pretty bad, bad to the bone. And what he has tried to downplay with this series is the upfront action that a lot of the American comics play up. That's what you're buying the comic for. Christian has actually taken that away. You know, like, don't expect too much of the face, actually, the fist-hitting face or the explosion. All that is done in your imagination off camera. And I think that is a really brave and clever thing to do with a series, particularly about supervillains, that it's all about their motivation. It's all about their private life. It's all about why they do things. And you don't necessarily have to see the big action scenes that much. So, really clever twist on things.
Yeah, really, I mean, again, going back to the Primortal scene, you've got two street-level villains taking on a man-god. It's obviously not going to go well. We know how that scene will play out. So instead, we cut to the aftermath, and it's a great shot. It's a great scene.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the whole series was full of that. You expect to turn the page and see it, but it's not there. Something else is there to replace it, and that's what Christian's built across those at least the three issues now. And of course, I've read how it all finishes up, and it's a pretty fantastic story for the fourth issue too.
That's Reed. He's the man.
Yeah, he is indeed. And I've got a feeling, I don't want to blow any secrets if Christian wants to keep it to himself, but I've got a feeling there's more stories in the Unmasked universe coming. There's no way that he set up this universe without having, you know, hundreds and hundreds of stories to tell in it. So there might be more Unmasked coming down the track as well. I may not be the artist involved, but certainly that universe will be explored more, I'd imagine.
Okay, for the folks listening out there, Mark Miller's Wanted. That's trash compared to this. It's really nice. He's trash. Unmasked is much better than Wanted. I think I'm safe from making that call.
Right, I think that's going on the trade paperback collection, that is.
Yeah, way to score yourself a quote there, Emmett.
That's what it's all about. folks really should check out Unmasked. It's great to hear that there's more stories possibly coming down the line. Can you maybe give us a hint for the last issue? Is there going to be heartbreak? Is there going to be some tragedy?
I'm sorry, I cannot give you a hint, because, look, anything that I say will probably blow it.
I'm not going to put you in a difficult spot. Don't worry.
Yeah. You know the tone of the first three issues. Yes. So that tone continues through to the fourth one. And it's ramped up marginally as well. So, you know, I can't say much without blowing it. Just more of the same, only more so, with a Christian Reed full stop on the whole thing.
Very good. Well, moving on.
It's got a Reedy, Reedy tone to it.
Yeah. Painful.
Yeah. Oh, well, there's a lot of pain in the fourth issue. Anyway, onwards.
Anyway, moving on. I did read a comment from Sky Ogden, I think it was a few months ago, and it was around the time when the Comic Book Heroes show was airing.
Right, yeah.
And he was talking about yourself and Cyclone.
One
of the things he was saying was that meeting you and the advice you gave him, and Wolf, obviously, was very instructive in Gestalt, getting their heads around how to do Gestalt.
Right. Okay.
Your feedback, your experience was able to feed into that and give them some insight into what was ahead of them. And I thought that was really interesting that now looking at Gestalt and what's it become, how do you feel about it? How do you see it as a publisher in Australian scene today?
Well, what Sky didn't mention was that after I gave them all of my pearls of wisdom, they chose to ignore every single one and continue on.
You meant that, right? You gave them false information.
Get out while you can. Run now. Well, you know, I met Sky many moons ago. He was a work experience boy of mine when I was doing Cyclone and doing graphic design freelance. You know, many, many moons ago, I'd get work experience kids come through each term, and Sky was one of them. And so, you know, we go way back, and I think it's just absolutely fantastic that he's where he's at now and he's done what he's done now. His Valve graphic novel was absolutely brilliant. You know, there's Rombies, there's the stuff that he does as a designer for Gestalt as well. It's just, you know, primo stuff. So I'm really proud that he's actually doing what he's doing with the Gestalt company. The two boys, I'm calling them boys still, the two boys are still, they're very, you know, like laser focused on what they want to do with the company. So, you know, I'm really interested to see where Gestalt's going to be in, you know, 5 years and 10 years' time. It certainly won't be where they are now. It will be somewhere, you know, bigger and better. And I can't think of two other people that are more focused on getting the company where they want it to be and beyond. So, you know, they always hint to me, you know, in emails and stuff, the kind of things that they've got on the boil. And it's pretty amazing. It's just everything takes so long. So you get the hints of these things and, you know, 6 months down the track, 12 months down the track, they come to fruition. But, you know, a lot of other people let these things die on the vine. But with Gestalt, it's like, no, we said we're going to do this. And, you know, just wait long enough. And then you get the email or you get the phone call or you read the news item on some podcast or something that, oh, that's actually happened. You know, like The Deep and the animated TV series. And, you know, all these things that you know, I would never have thought of while I was doing Cyclone back in the day. So, you know, good luck to the guys. And, stand back and watch them go.
That's another example I can think of is you mentioned Justin Rand earlier. And yes. Changing Ways, obviously, incredible looking book, great story, yep. Great horror. And that's apparently being eyed up by the Walking Dead producers. That's something that actually is coming out in official publicity for
right,
the book.
Yep.
But I also have a copy of it in the living room there in French,
yes,
which, yeah. You know, I think is a brilliant idea. And I think
yeah.
More Australians should be getting their stuff published in French. And I know a few are. But that's another example of getting a book out to a new market and drawing attention to your work in a new way.
Yes. Yeah, and for a company the size that Gestalt is, they have to think smart. They have to be on their toes all the time, and they almost have to be a little bit what's the word? Precognitive of how the scene is changing, how the comics industry is changing 6 months, 8 months down the track, so they can start to adapt and present their stuff and be ready for that as it happens. You can't be left behind too much these days, or else you'll be dead in the water.
Very good, very good. Well, I think we're going to wrap up shortly, but before we get to the extra special news, I just wanted to thank you, Gary, because your work with the Comic Spot, beyond your professional work, but your work as a promoter of Australian comics has actually been a real inspiration to Ryan and myself. And the Australian Comics Journal is a great site. The Comic Spot's a great show as well. Your work with John Italic there is fantastic. But also, for the folks out there, we wouldn't have a individual website with the logo that we have and that Paul Kijeji did for us if it weren't for you, because you're the one who actually put the idea in my head to do it.
That's a great logo, too.
Yeah, I know. He's been fantastic. He's available, folks.
Paul
Kijeji, thank you, Paul. But yeah, if you hadn't actually approached me and said, oh, do you have a logo? I wouldn't have thought, oh, I need a logo.
Yes. Well, there you go. That was my pleasure. And it's a ripper too. I hope it does you well. Yes.
So thanks again. And also, as we've hinted a couple of times already, you've got a bit of a rumor or a bit of a tidbit you'd like to share with folks out there?
Yeah. Yeah, it may not be actually new news, but it's like confirmed news that's firming up that the Ledger Awards are coming back.
Yes.
And I can say that they'll be back in 2014, and we're working on things now. It's firming up really quickly. We've got a major sponsor. We've got a month planned, a release planned, an event, what is it, an awards night planned. The ledgers have been totally redesigned, tipped inside out. The judging parameters have changed. So an official announcement will be released in the next week or so. And but you have an exclusive, I suppose, as far as we can now. We're getting to the point where we can start talking about it. And so the ledgers are happening again. It will be on each year. It will be there to acknowledge excellence in Australian comic arts and publishing. And now people can start gossiping.
Excellent, excellent stuff. And also, we didn't mention, but the other chap involved is Tim McEwen, isn't it?
Tim McEwen.
Tim McEwen, drink,
Tim
everybody.
Tim McEwen. Oh, no, I'm going to be drunk very shortly. Yes.
Because this is, am I... Can I say the convention involved, or?
Oh yeah, you can. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it is Supernova that's involved.
Yeah, Supernova is the major sponsor that is signed on, and while the ledgers remain totally independent, they are not a part of Supernova. Supernova purely function as a sponsor. So, as I say, more news of that as it unravels, and it should be a very interesting first quarter of 2014 as far as the ledgers go.
Good stuff. And once again, it's that's a great example of advocacy there too, because you actually have a platform to celebrate Australian comics and
yes.
give out nice yes. awards and give out some recognition and bring to light the fact that all these guys are producing such great work.
There's so much good stuff happening at the moment that you know, whether you're into awards or not, you know, obviously I am. I think that there is value in them, more so than they do more good than harm. And I think it sort of tends to focus people a little bit as well, and gives good work a bit of a spotlight as well. And I think that's all good stuff.
Excellent stuff. Well,
one thing that I'd like to say about the ledgers as well is that, or awards in general, is that it puts a spotlight on people and titles and events that you may not necessarily come across. So it's acknowledging work of individuals who, you know, may not have, if the only thing that you listen to is Beauty and the Geek and that's where you get your Australian comics fix, or if you're in a particular circle yourself, you may not hear about people nationally. So it's a good place to put the national focus, and also acknowledging the great Mr. Peter Ledger as well. So
right, yes. Now, it's worth mentioning at this stage that it won't be a popularity vote or anything like that. It will be focusing on individual projects as well, more so than creators. So it'll be project-driven and not creator-driven as such. So it's going to be an interesting way of judging and rewarding you know, good projects, good work. So we shall see how that one gets received in the the comic sphere out there. Yeah.
That's good. That's a good way of leveling the playing field as well.
Well, it's a hard thing with comics. Of course, you can't really judge a superhero comic with a crime comic or a autobiographical piece or, you know, anime or manga or anything like that. So what Tim and I were trying to do was figure out a way where the work stand on its own and that there are other parameters of craftsmanship and writing quality and things like that, so that the work is judged on its own merit, not a superhero versus a crime comic, because that's, you know, a bit criminal in and of itself, but, you know, apples and oranges, really. So, yeah, so the approach is going to be different in 2014, and we'll see how we go.
Well, there you have it, folks. Now, if folks were looking to find your work, Gary, where would they go? Where's the best place for them to go to find you?
Probably just GaryChaloner.com. I do actually update my site at some stage, but there's a lot of stuff on there to have a look at, sample artworks, some links to you know, websites that have some of my stuff on there. So that would probably be a good starting point. On Facebook as well, Gary Chaloner on Facebook, so I'm always posting stuff there as well. So, yeah.
And if someone wants to hear you getting a little tipsy and talk about comics, there's the Comic Spot too, which
I'm
talking.
Of course, there's the Comic Spot, yes, with John Retallick. So you can look that up. There's plenty of, and in fact, going back before my time, there's stacks and stacks of episodes from when John was doing it with Bernard Tellio and Joe Waite in Melbourne. So if you want to dip into some Australian comic history, into the archives of the Comic Spot, that's always a worthwhile listen too.
Good stuff. Now, Ryan, there you have it. We've tapped your Urchak's Folly itch, haven't we? Now you can move on with your life.
Yes, we have. I mean, for me personally, you know, as a young chap growing up and sort of haunting many a comic shop, it was the one cover. I think it was issue 2. It was like a Frazetta homage.
Ah, the gorilla on the horse.
Yes. Just stuck with me forever. That was a fantastic cover.
Well, I'll put something in the mail for you then.
Oh, well, thank you.
That easy. Where can folks find you, Ryan?
Well, folks can find me at geekofoz.com, twitter.com/geekofoz, and facebook.com/geekofoz. And what about yourself, Emmett?
Do you know what? It's just occurred to me I need to declare a moratorium on saying folks. Or, like, if that was the drinking game, I would be dead. Because I say it too much. But I can be found on the Momus Report. So that's momusreport.com. And you can also find me on Twitter, just under my name, which is easy enough. And, yes, as always, thank you for listening. Thanks again to Gary. It's been great having you on the show.
It's been a pleasure.
And you know, it's love your work. I think it's brilliant. And
we'll
have to do it again. But there you have it, everybody. And check out Morton Stone when it comes out available digitally. And we'll talk to you next time. All the best.